Blog Talk Radio.
Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. In case you haven't heard, I changed my name to Exit because I wanted to see my name up in lights. And now, let's see, it's 7 o'clock here in sunny Queens, New York City. Although, who knows when they'll be. There'll probably be a burst of rain by the end of this evening. It's been doing that. I'm glad we didn't get the hail. I can't believe it was, can have been more than like maybe 20, 25 miles away from my house that there was like all this hail. And they were still cleaning it up. My goodness gracious, you can't even tell with this weather. Well, regardless of the weather, we're going to have an interesting show tonight. Well, at least I'm going to have. I don't know if you're going to have. But here we have this woman, Natalia. I don't know how, I'll ask her how she pronounces her name, whether it's Parus or Panus. Well, anyway, she's known as the Saw Lady. That's what she's known because she plays the saw. So we're going to be hearing some music of hers and talking with her all about this. So, you know, you can cut down a tree and or play a little music. Yeah. So now we also, I have another woman named Angelica Krishna. And she makes clothing, and it's organic clothing that's herb infused. That's right. I have it a blouse in front of me. I've been trying to smell the cotton to see. I don't smell the herbs, but I guess she'll tell us how it gets herb infused. And then we have Paula Matur. She's an anesthetician for Epicurean Skincare. No, anesthetician. Anesthetician. She doesn't do anesthesia. No, she doesn't put you. Well, I mean, like, if you're getting a body rub and a massage and, you know, like, I had a facial done. I suppose that can kind of put you to sleep, you know, can nod out from it. And she'll tell us all about, well, not just that, but this, why you should be, like, wearing makeup because of just the UV rays. You got to keep covering your body. From the, block yourself from the sun. Oh, and speaking of that, I haven't tried it. I just got an umbrella from the guy from Gustbuster. I haven't tried it. It's an umbrella, and it's specifically to block the UV rays. But not only that, you can, like, the bottom, you can, like, jab it into the ground. I haven't done this. It looks like you jab it into the ground. And there's a seat, so you can actually, you know, sit on it. Yeah, I will try it. I can't try it in the house because I'm not going to jab it into my carpeting or the linoleum. But on the other hand, you can just, I think, I'm not sure, don't open an umbrella in the house. It seems like it's large enough to open up and, like, you know, put your head under there to block yourself from the UV rays when you're at the beach. So I will try that. Yes, yeah, so it's gustbuster.com. The reason it's Gustbuster because he has the umbrellas that withstand winds of up to 55 miles an hour. So that's why, and I'm going to be also playing some songs from the Broadway show Hair, since it's back on. But the first thing I want to do is, of course, a word from our sponsor. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. And you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com. Oh, yeah. I wish I had one right now. I'm making gelato. Yeah, well, I'm attempting to make sort of gelato. I'll tell you about that later. But first, we want to get into this thing about playing the saw. So, Natalia, do I have you there, huh?
Hi.
Hiya. Well, before we get into this whole thing with the saw, playing the saw, I'm going to let people listen to a quick song so they can hear what this sounds like, okay?
Okay.
And this is a simple goodbye.
Introduced to this art form by seeing somebody else perform. You know, it's not something that your mother would send you to the music conservatory to study. In my case, my parents and I were in Austria, and there we went to see a show for tourists, and in it there was a guy playing a saw, and that was, for me, the very first time I've ever encountered this art form, and I was just mesmerized both by the sound and by the visual. And I felt a fire inside of me, like, you know, I really wanted to learn to play it. So I actually did something I've never done before or since. I actually dared to go backstage and ask the performer if he would teach me how to play.
Wow.
But he said no.
Oh.
And he said, just go home, pick up a saw, a regular saw, you know, from the hardware store, and imitate what you've seen me do on stage and figure it out. So that's what I did. I came back home to Astoria, and I borrowed a handsaw that my then landlady was using to, you know, cut wood with. And I imitated what I remembered the guy do on stage, and I figured it out.
Wow.
Just like he said.
So basically, it's are you using a bow from?
Yeah, a violin bow or a cello bow.
Does it make a difference?
It doesn't make a difference. Okay. I prefer the cello bow because it's shorter,
mm-hmm.
so I don't hit the floor when I'm playing high notes. You know, I'm bending the blade down towards
right.
the floor. But it doesn't really matter.
So in terms of how you're holding this, I mean, like, you know, explain it. I mean, I have, this sort of in a photo, but tell,
right.
tell my audience how you actually hold this.
Well, you sit down on a chair and you hold the handle of the saw between your knees. You clasp your knees so that the handle stays there, you know, the saw doesn't fall down. And then with your left hand, if you're right-handed, you hold the tip of the blade. And with your right hand, you hold the bow, the violin bow. And then you strike the blade with the bow, and that makes the metal vibrate, and it's the vibrations that create the sound, of course. And then you bend the blade with your left hand down towards the floor to whatever pitch you want. And that's basically it.
Now, when you're doing this, like, so in other words, do you have to be careful to, let's say, use the bow in the same spot each time? Because if you're, because you'll get, I would imagine you would get a different pitch if you get, close to the handle or far from the handle?
Exactly, yeah. You have to know where to bow. The further down you bend the blade, the further down you also have to bow. Because if you don't bow in the sweet spot, then no sound is going to come out.
Okay, so where do you actually...
Well, as you're bending the blade, it sort of forms like a very shallow S-curve.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to bow right in the middle of that, the peak of that S-curve, and it would change according to how much you bend the blade. So you always
right.
want to be aware of that S-curve.
Okay. Now, when you said, now the blade, so in other words, aren't you not afraid that you're going to...
What, the teeth?
Yeah, yeah. Of its teeth, yeah.
Well, the teeth would face you, and you're bowing on the other side. And obviously, you don't bow on the teeth side, because
right.
otherwise you won't have a bow left in a second.
Right.
But, you know, I've been playing for 16 years, and
really?
I have never been hurt by the teeth. So, you know, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't give this to a child. to,
sure.
You know, but, you know... just like when you're cutting wood, you know, you don't really get hurt from the teeth. You're careful.
That's true. But aren't you when you're handling the saw itself to bend it, you're not handling anything, you know, where the teeth are?
No, because like I said, the teeth face you, and you're holding the tip of the blade with your hand.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, no, it's and actually a lot of saw players also use what we call a tip handle,
mm-hmm.
which is a piece of wood that you put on the tip of the blade, and that just saves your hand, you know, because after a while it kind of hurts
right.
your thumb from pressing down. So you know, you could use that, and it helps.
Now, only like. Are you playing a group, or what do you do?
I mean,
obviously, when I heard the music, it wasn't just solo, so.
Right. I'm always accompanied by somebody. Like, what we just heard was a pianist accompanying me. It's like a singer, Yes, of course, a singer can sing a cappella, but it's nicer if you have other instruments accompanying a singer. So it's a similar thing. And basically, I'm a freelance musician, which means I move around from gig to gig. I play with orchestras and smaller ensembles or just with a pianist. It varies.
Now, let's say when you're playing with an ensemble, let's say do you find, like, you're the solo saw player?
Usually, yes. And I'm saying usually just because next week is the New York City Musical Saw Festival, and there we're going to have 48 or 49 saw players. So there we will actually have a huge ensemble of saw players, but it's very unusual. Usually the saw player is just a solo act.
So before I get to that, so let's say you're playing, have you played in an orchestra?
Oh, yes, many times.
So will they, in other words, like all of a sudden, the way maybe a violinist has a solo, will they?
Exactly.
Point, and then all of a sudden you have your solo?
Exactly, exactly. And also at other times, the composer weaves the sound of the saw into the fabric of the orchestra. For
mm-hmm.
example, there is a famous piano concerto by Aram Khachaturian, and in the second movement, the entire orchestra is playing, and you can hear the musical saw hovering above the violin section. It's really very beautiful.
That's really interesting. Let's go back to this thing with the festival. So tell us about what this is.
Well, this is the seventh year that I'm organizing the New York City Musical Saw Festival. It's a festival that aims at preserving the art form of playing a saw, and it's a concert and an art exhibit and a workshop, all centered around the musical saw, of course. And this year, what's special about it is that we are attempting to break the Guinness World Record for the largest musical saw ensemble. Last year in Poland, the Guinness World Record was set with 27 saw players. And I'm pretty confident that we will break this record this year.
Oh, yeah. Now, will there be a point, this is not a competition, is it?
No. It's quite the opposite. I stress the fact that it's not a competition. Everybody who plays the saw is welcome to perform, whether they're beginners or advanced or, anywhere in between. And it's definitely not a competition between the saw players. It's a very supportive atmosphere for the saw players.
Will there be opportunities for the saw players like to play together?
Yes, we will play two pieces together. We will play the Schubert Ave Maria, and we will play Somewhere Over the Rainbow all together. There's going to be like almost 50 saw players playing together those two pieces, and there's going to be a conductor conducting and a pianist accompanying the whole thing.
I'm really sorry I'm going to miss this, but I'm going to be in Washington, the state, on a press trip. But I would love to see him. I'm going to see if I can ask somebody to go and cover this. And
oh, thank you.
That would be great for the Queen's Times, because I think this is a hoot. I think this is a great idea.
It's certainly going to be wild.
Now, I'm curious, by the way, because in growing up I had started to go. This is a very cute story. I had made music and art. I was supposed to go to high school in music and art, and I tried out on the piano, and that's how I made it. So I had in my head this thought: oh, this is fantastic! I'm going to play the piano all day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, so here was a class they put me in. It was an English class, and we were going to read the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Oh.
And and I'm going, I hate to read in the first place. And it's about, and I, if there's anything I hated reading, is anything that was not in conversational English.
Right.
It's like, I can look up vocabulary words, but I don't need to interpret my language.
Right.
You know. So that was one class. And then there was this second class that had us, and I said, okay, it was a music theory class. I said, okay, that can't be too bad. Well, they were talking about the moving Heathcliff.
Oh!
I'm going, what? What? It's enough. I had to learning the F clef. It moves, you know. And for what do I need this for? I play the piano. Okay, so that was like two down, you know.
Right.
But this was the killer. The killer was okay. Let me at least play an instrument. So they said to me, I have a choice between percussion and brass.
Hmm.
I said, okay, fine. And I thought, let me play the drums. I said, I'll take brass. I'll take percussion. And they turned and they said, oh, well, we're not teaching percussion this semester.
Oh.
And I was like, so why did you just ask me? Why did you tell me I had a choice? I said, okay, I'll take brass. And I thought, I'll play the trumpet. But, you know, at that time, girls don't play the trumpet. It was like, then they said, no, you're not going to play the trumpet. You're going to play the French horn. And
oh.
I thought, wait a second. Didn't you tell me I had some choice in the matter? Well, I lasted at the High School of Music and Art for 2 weeks. I left. I went to the school in my own neighborhood about a block away, and for the next 3 years, I played the oboe.
Oh.
Just for the heck of it.
Cool.
But so I thought, the reason I'm bringing this up is I wondered, like, how many women, do you find it more dominant of women playing the saw or men playing the saw?
Well, historically it was men, but recently, let's say in the past few years, more and more women actually are playing the saw. And the interesting thing in the history of the musical saw, for some bizarre reason, I don't know why, only in Germany the majority was always women saw players. I don't know why.
Oh,
but the rest of the world, including the United States, it was always a men thing.
And in men playing the saw, did they find that the men who were lumberjacks?
Well, that's how it started. You know, 300 years ago, it was exactly the way it started. Probably a saw fell on the ground and made this sound, or maybe something bounced off and hit the blade.
Uh-huh.
And this sound came out, and the lumberjacks were like, oh, that was cool. Let's try to recreate it.
Yeah, right.
And that's how the musical saw was invented.
Okay. Now, I understand you compose a lot of your own songs as well?
No, I don't compose, but my husband composes, and I play
your husband.
His music.
What's his name?
Scott Munson.
Okay, well, this way we can give him a plug, right?
He's the one who played, who composed the song that you just played before.
Oh, okay. As a matter of fact, what I would like to do is take another little break and play the song. This is the first song that your husband composed, I believe, called...
Oh, yes, L'Âme Sonore, which is French
okay.
for musical saw.
Okay, so let's hear this one.
Thank you.
gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm curious. I mean, can you play in a tempo that's like, you know, anything? You know,
well, the sword is really a lyrical instrument, so it
right.
wants to play ballads.
Right.
It's very difficult to play fast stuff on the saw because
yeah,
whenever you're bending steel.
Yeah. Have you heard? Has anybody actually done that? Like,
yeah, people do play faster, and you know, I have some faster stuff as well, but fast is a relative word, you know. I mean, if you're thinking
yeah.
of Flight of the Bumblebee, then no.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, does anybody, like, play any kind of, like, try to play some, I don't mean rock music, but something, you know.
Oh, people do incorporate the saw with rock bands, yes.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
So, and at this festival, do you think there'll be, like, all types of music that's
yes.
heard of people?
Yes, every saw player chooses whatever they want to play for their solo, and, yeah, there will be probably every type of music presented there.
Have you ever thought of auditioning for America's Got Talent? Or has anybody ever auditioned and playing the saw?
Yeah, actually, they did have a saw player from California. I think it was in one of the very first seasons.
Oh, okay. I
But he didn't last very long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. However, in the equivalent show in England, they
mm-hmm.
had a saw player, and he lasted quite long.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose what they probably look at is like, and each time they come back is looking for something a little different, you know, in terms of the song, so they don't all sound the same, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would be interesting of different tempos. But
right.
again, you know, again, you're bending steel, and it also, I guess that's, I suppose that's why men were playing this. They were probably,
they had stronger hands, yeah.
Yeah, lumberjacks probably,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we can bend this, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it is quite a workout playing the saw.
Oh, I bet. So, now, where exactly, not that, I mean, this is, of course, on the internet, but where exactly is this festival taking place?
The festival takes place in Astoria, Queens,
mm-hmm.
at Trinity Church, which is on 31st Avenue at 37th Street. And if people want to see more information, they can go to the website, which is musicalsawfestival.org, and there you can see the exact address and everything else about it.
And your website is sawlady.com, right?
That is correct.
And will people be able to buy your CDs on that?
Yes. One can purchase the entire CD or just download tracks, individual tracks.
Oh, okay. That's really great. Well, I when I get a chance, I'm gonna. I didn't want to play any of the Christmas songs because it's, you know, not Christmas.
Right. Right.
But I will. I think one of the song I probably will listen to is you have on this song. You have Ave Maria, and I have it. Why is it? Well, one is it says Bach.
There are various Ave Marias. Different composers composed
right.
Ave Marias, and the two most popular ones are the Schubert one and the Bach Gounod one. Those are the two that get played over and over. And people recognize them.
Would I like listening to it? But okay, as a musician,
mm-hmm.
I'll hear the difference, right? Will someone who's just listening also hear the difference? Just,
oh yeah!
No?
Oh yeah!
Oh okay.
It's two different melodies completely.
Oh it is. Oh
yeah.
Two different melodies. Oh. Okay, well, I guess, heck, you don't have to be a musician to realize that.
That's
then.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Or somebody could, you know, put it on and go, that's not Ave Maria, I got the wrong one, you know, right?
Right, depending
that can happen
on,
as well.
Yeah, depending on which one you're used to.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for calling. Is there anything else you want to add to?
No, just that I'm really grateful to you for giving me this opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, it's fabulous. By the way, it's archived, so if you want to.
Oh, excellent! I'll
yeah.
tell all my friends.
Yes, you can have people listen to, or you can put this on your own, on your website as a link to listen to this. I think hopefully I covered everything, huh?
I think so.
Okay, I'm certainly happy about that. Okay, As I said, I'm going to see if I can get somebody to cover the festival. I'll ask.
Thank you.
I'll ask my boss because I wish again this would have been something I would have. That I would have gone to.
Well, but, there's always next year.
Yeah, that's true. that's true. All right. Again, thank you, Natalia,
for calling in.
And enjoy the festival. And
thank you.
And tell everybody to have a great time. And
thank you very much.
Break that record for me. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that's... so now you can see the saw. If you go to the festival, you'll be able to see the saw. Isn't that nice? Or seesaw, depending on where you go in Astoria. Well, now, while we're waiting for my next caller, I guess that would be Angelica who will be calling in. So I want, again, of course it's an old thing, but it's on Broadway. I happen to have gotten the new cast recording, so I'm going to play some of my favorite songs from the most recognized, which of course the first one you will all know.
She asks me why I'm just a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and night, hair that's a fright. I'm hairy high and low. Don't ask me why, don't know. It's not for lack of bread, like the Grateful Dead. Darling, with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, steaming, flaxen, and waxen. Give me down to there, hair, shoulder, length, or longer. Here, baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, daddy, hey.
from here. Well, it sounds certainly close to the original show with, I don't know how many years ago. But one of the things that was great about this particular show was that the songs were pop songs. It became pop songs on the old radio, you know. Turn up that dial and you were able to hear that. And the ones I think that became popular, well, of course you heard Good Morning Sunshine was the other one that became popular. And then there was Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In. I forgot which was a male-female duet. I think group or whatever that sang Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In, so anyway, again, still waiting. So while we're waiting, let me do the other song. Let's hear Good Morning Sunshine. Okay, Starshine. Actually, what I did is that it was a spoken agreement. Okay. Let's get back. Now, okay, it is, time? No, wait, let's go for a commercial. I'm going away. No, I'm not. I'll be air training soon. Let's hear from JetBlue.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, JetBlue.com. Yeah, well, I'll be talking about AirTran at one point because they're doing the air wars right now. It seems that a couple of them, Southwest Airlines suddenly went with this $30 one-way ticket. Although, lie, pants on fire, unless there's a way to do it. If you go through a round trip, you don't get the round trip going home. So for one way, you'll get $30, and coming back, it's different. Although, what I should have done is, should have done one way, going from LaGuardia to someplace, and then one way going from someplace to LaGuardia, and see if that worked. But that ended last night, and so a couple of the other airlines got on the bandwagon. I think Delta said they were doing it. AirTran is doing something for 2-3 days, and it looks like the travels are not right now. Probably, I think, September and such, whatever. I'm going to be going on a trip in November to New Orleans, and I'm going to AirTran it. It's probably, easier because AirTran usually goes from New York, and it'll go to Atlanta and then go someplace else. So that's not terribly far from Atlanta, and I like AirTran. AirTran and JetBlue happen to be my favorite airlines. So check out AirTran right now. I guess it's AirTran.com, and see what's happening with them. So let's get back to this. And, of course, this is one of the other songs from Hair. We'll be right back. not going to sound like the group that sang it in the first place. I can't think of them. I'll figure them out. And one more song that I want to play from them. I believe this is the one that goes into like more than one song. It goes into another toward the end of the show. By the way, the show is doing quite well, and it'll be kind of tough to get tickets. But, you know, as it is with Broadway, if you're coming into New York, I guess there's the half-price ticket fans, and they might have it. I don't think they'll have this on goldstar.com, though. But here's one last one that I want to play for you.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new toll lies with supreme visions of lonely tunes. Somewhere inside something there is a rush of greatness. Who knows what stands in front of our lives? I fashion my future. Thank you.
right. Yeah. Well, okay. So, once again, someone forgets to call, but that's okay. That's all right, because this is time. This is music time.
Are you ready for some football?
No, this is not football time. This is not football time at all. Although, wow, that reminds me. Wow, that's a week from Sunday. The Sharks have their end of the season party, and we're having it at McCormick and Schmick's restaurant here in New York City. It's in Manhattan. Oh yeah, I'm not sure what the food's gonna be. Setting up the all the goodies, but I know that I think we're getting a present of oysters. 100 oysters are gonna come in from the oyster farm that I went to when I was in Cape Cod. So I'm looking forward to those oysters. And heck knows what will be happening at the party. Now, okay, so again, let's music it away a bit. What I want to look like, let's get the, where is that now? I'm trying to find this on my list over here. Okay, so it's, let's do the Bobby Caldwell song. That's what we'll do.
Darling,
fade out, fade out, fade out, fade out. Done. Yeah, you ever try singing? It's hard singing like that, though, you know? Try to sing a song and then try to, you know, fade out, fade out, fade out. So, okay. Hi, I'm in a music mood, what can I tell you? And well, I think I got the... I got Spiral Gyra here. I got Spiral Gyra here. Where is that? Let's do that. Here's Spiral Gyra here. Spiral Gyra, you got the gist of it. Bobby Caldwell will be on the cruise next Wednesday, just in case anybody wants to go to that. And in the meantime, we have Paula on the line, our ethnician.
Easy for you to say. How are you?
Oh, fine. Yeah. Were you successful the last 2 days?
We had a fantastic event. We had people from Vogue, Men's Vogue, GQ, Teen Cosmo, Men's Fitness, Red Book, Oprah Show, Martha Stewart. So we had a great turnout to promote Epic Urine.
Good. So, all right, tell us, well, before we get into the products, I want you to tell us about, you know, why is it, I mean, it's almost become like kind of necessary to wear makeup, kind of.
Well, we're trying to make it not necessary to wear makeup, actually, Meryl. I mean, the point, you know, especially with Epicurant, is we're trying to improve overall health of the skin. You know, I think women's goal really is to have to wear less makeup, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, so in other words, when I say, I guess the makeup I meant is that, like, the mineral makeup.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's going to wear it, that's with something that Epicurean firmly believes in, because it's wholesome. It's pure minerals. It comes from the earth. There's no preservatives necessary because they don't naturally harbor bacteria. So if you are going to wear it, I do suggest that you wear mineral makeup.
Okay.
Especially Epicurean.
Yeah. But so let's get into telling us about, like, you know, the healthy skin and what's that exactly going on that this has come about?
Well, with healthy skin, you know, right now our environment has changed so much. There are so many free radicals. Free radicals are generated from the sun. As you know, our ozone has been depleted, so the sun is much different than it was perhaps when our parents were young. You know, here we are in New York, and the air is definitely different. It's dirty. There's a lot of pollution, even electromagnetic pollution, that affects our skin. And, you know, we just really need to work. You know, we need to work from the inside out. But topically, products like Epicurean really do help to boost the health of the skin.
So for instance, I mean, like, you know, in other words, you just, like, step outside and you need to make sure that your skin is taken care of to prevent, well, everything out there from...
Really, that's what it is. You know, the key is prevention. In skincare, it's either prevention or correction. And believe me, it's much easier to prevent than to try to correct. So, you know, with clients, you know, if you're stepping outside, I mean, no matter what, people want fancy answers. They want to do fancy treatments. The most important thing in your medicine cabinet is your sunblock. So when you step outside, you should be protected. It's radiation. It's pure radiation. And you know, even if it's cloudy out, the UVA rays are the same in the middle of winter as they are in the hot summer. And those are the rays that age your skin and cause skin cancer. So, yes, when we step out, we need to be protected.
So just because something is a sunblocker, I mean, just, you know, it's not that we should use, like, any old sunblocker, right?
No. Sunblocks now are very sophisticated. However, Epicurean has several kinds of different sunblocks, but my hands-down favorite are the mineral blocks, something with a high content of zinc, because zinc is a broad spectrum block, which means it blocks out all of the rays of the sun, the burning rays, the aging rays. And that's what you need to look for. People look at the number on the bottle. Really, that only has to do with how long you can be outside before you burn. And believe it or not, the burning rays are not the ones that cause the most damage. They're the rays that we don't even feel.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, many different sunblocks, but especially for your face, I say go with something that is like a pure, like a mineral block. And also it doesn't sting your eyes if you do that.
Yeah, you know, I seem to get a flash, and I don't know, like, because I've seen it in movies and stuff, but then, like, people would actually put zinc on their nose.
Exactly.
The
same
beach.
Thing back when we saw those old movies, and the lifeguards had zinc on their nose, and that was, you know, when they're constantly exposed to the sun, they would just put it on a super layer, thick layer. Zinc is so much different now. It's much more sophisticated. It's micronized, which means it's smaller particles, so you don't get that white cast on your skin. It's protecting just the same, but it doesn't make you look like a ghost.
Okay. So, yeah. So what I want to kind of get into is yesterday when I was at the event, I had this wonderful facial.
Right. You just got a little taste of a facial, Mel.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to kind of go over, like, exactly what you did and what you put on. Can
okay.
we do that? If
we
can remember.
Do that. Well, actually, I've done a few since then, but I want to, the facial that Epicurean is known for, our signature facial, is very unique. I unfortunately could not do that to you yesterday because I don't know you. I don't have a history on you. I've never worked with you before. So the facial I did on you yesterday was a very simple European-style facial. I was really doing more of a calming treatment with you because I noticed that you did have a tendency to be red. So I used a very simple herbal cleanser with no chemical foaming agents. I didn't do any type of a, you know, I did a very light scrub on the areas that weren't red. And I used a mask on you. I used a custom mask. I put on a green tea and ginger mask to help combat redness. And then I put a hydrating mask over top of it. So your procedure was really simple yesterday. But that's just because of the environment that we were in. I couldn't really get in there and do any aggressive kind of treatment.
Okay. Yeah, and one of the things that I noticed is that when you were removing things, you used, because a lot of times they just take this like hot towel kind of thing, or that's what I seem to be.
Yes, yes.
And
with you, and you know, I personally, as an esthetician, people have all different kinds of facials they do. Every facial I do is custom, even down to what I use to remove it from somebody's face. For you, because you had a tendency towards some redness, I only wanted to use something soft. No sponges, no rough towels. I used just big, pure cotton pads on you. You know, whereas somebody else, you know, maybe a gentleman that had very tough skin, I would go ahead and get in there with a hot towel. Or sponges, but for you, I don't want to raise the heat on your skin, and I don't want to do anything rough. So,
yeah, well, that's why I was kind of wondering as to why in the past that, you know, there's a tendency to use the hot towel, even seeing that I had, you know, the redness. That's
Well, I can't speak for those people, but
yeah.
So many people have different techniques. Regionally, there's different techniques. Even if you're out of the country, there's going to be a different technique.
Right.
And actually, I tend to be more on the aggressive side when I do peels and treatments. But it's just for your type of skin, I don't know. You know,
right.
I don't know why someone would choose that. I wouldn't choose that for you, though. But they might have a very valid reason why they thought that that would be appropriate.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Tell me, like, some of the other products, you know, all the products that are on the line that you have, I went away with this, and this is what I thought it was kind of interesting. It says after bath.
Yes.
Wake up,
Rosemary.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we gave you in the gift bag, we have to be careful because Epicurin is very active, and we don't want to give away the when we're just doing an event like this. We kind of give something that most people are going to be okay with. So we chose the after bath. It comes in 13 different scents. Our body products are facial quality, so you could actually use that on your face. It's not like some body lotions, you would never put it on your face, but ours, same quality ingredients are in there. And then I think you got just our basic lip balm and your little kit, and your giveaway kit that
right,
we gave you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very simple, basic stuff, because it is a sophisticated line, and if you don't have someone there to guide you, then you might not use the product properly. Epicurin really makes sure that we hand train all of our estheticians that are using the product, and we are only sold to people that will be doing the facial. So they have that consultation and they have that resource for somebody to create their program. We have such a range of products, very different from a lot of other companies. It's custom. We don't put the skin type on the bottle. So, you know, we just know if you do that some people will close their minds. They won't realize how they can use the potential ways they can use the product. So a lot of our stuff is 2-in-1, and it attracts a very creative person, and we don't want to squash that. But we definitely want them to use our product with guidance.
Now, when you said, 'cause one of the things that happens, like I'll go to a spa, I'll get some products, and when I come, you know, I see all these, like, you know, lotions, you know, to put on you, and I'm going, but it doesn't say whether I should put it on my face.
Right.
You know, and I kind of wonder, like, as to whether does it have to say that it's for the face or not for the face? I mean, that's the thing that I'm curious about.
Well, again, I can't speak for other lines, but typically it will say, you know, face or body. Typically you're going to, you know, if it's a big bottle, you know it's probably for the body. But they really, I guess I never thought about that question, Meryl, but yeah, they, it really should say for if it's for the face or body, definitely.
Yeah, because I, you know, I look on the things and I go, none of them specifically say for the face. Does that mean I shouldn't put it on my face? You know?
And you know, what we forget sometimes, and I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody else, is we sometimes just assume people know our industry or know how to use products, and we don't realize that, you know, some people just, they're new to skincare, and just the question that you're asking, people will ask me that, and I just, I just never even thought of that. So you have to accept our apology.
Yeah, because I would imagine, like, you know, with a lot of the lotions and stuff like that, and, you know, like, I'm sure that my hands, arms, legs, whatever, are going to have a different sense of be, you know, much less sensitive than my face.
Right, absolutely.
And then, you know, so putting stuff on the rest of my body, you know, I go, okay, that's fine. I'm going, oh, I don't know if I should put this on my face. I may react differently.
And that's why Epicurin likes for you to have a guide, an esthetician that's showing you how to use the product, because
right.
We don't, you know, we have some, like I said, we have some active stuff, and if you just put the wrong thing on your face, it's not going to work right, you're going to be irritated, and you're not going to be happy. So when you are using professional skincare, and when I say professional, I mean things that are used by estheticians or doctors, you really do need a guide. You really
right.
need to have someone there to help you.
So let me ask you, in terms of the products, as I say in the press kit that I have, that has this whole thing about stocking stuffers, you know, and holiday gift boxes.
Right.
You know, I mean, if somebody's going to order these things, you can order these
Epicurin? We do not sell online. We want to make sure our distributors get all that business. So if somebody were looking to find those gift baskets or those gift boxes or the gift bags or any of the stocking stuffers, Epicurin.com has a locator where they can find a distributor in their area.
Oh, okay. So that's how I would go about doing it.
Exactly.
Okay. So in other words, I shouldn't. And who, you know, I forgot her name. Who was the person that I was talking to afterwards?
Was it Heather?
Yeah,
it's Heather.
Right. I think she does the PR.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't get her card. I wanted to get her card to kind of chat with her on the PR end at some point.
Okay, absolutely. I'll make sure to give her her information when we get off the line.
So, where does the Epicurin, the line itself, like who, what do we know about this that makes it different on this line? Is everything holistic or
I'll give you a brief history, and this is very brief. Epicurin's been around for 25 years. We haven't put a dollar into advertising. It has been all word of mouth. It began with an enzyme, that mimicked an enzyme that's inside of your mouth. Because if you think about it, your mouth doesn't age. Your teeth might go bad. You might have not so great gums, but your mouth does not get wrinkles. If you cut your bite your cheek, it heals very quickly, and that's because of the enzymes. It's because of the moisture content in the mouth. So the central part of our line is something called the enzyme concentrate, and most of the products have that concentrate in it, and you actually have the afterbath, which that even has it in it for your body. So this enzyme boosts the metabolism of the skin cells. And when you boost your metabolism, just like when you exercise, it makes it speed up. And when you have fast metabolism, it's like when you're young, your metabolism is quick. So, and this was something that was studied. It was researched in a burn clinic, and we had scientists that had, you know, had won Nobel Prizes for this. So, and again, it's been around for 25 years. It's healing. It just brings your skin to an overall healthier state. There's nothing like it on the market at all.
Now, let me also ask you in terms of this, because, for people to, like, is this more like don't do this? Are you better off, like, not doing this at home kind of a thing?
Well, we definitely want you to do this at home. We definitely have professional treatments, you know, given to you by an esthetician or a nurse. But there are at-home products that absolutely, you know, are best used in conjunction with a professional treatment. Remember, you can go in for a facial once a month, but you're with yourself. You know, you have two opportunities.
Right.
60 opportunities every month to treat your skin. So really, home care is so important. It's so important that you're doing things at home and then checking in with your esthetician every month, reassessing what you need. You might change seasonally, or if you're going on a trip, you know, just to have it adjusted. But yes, definitely
yeah.
At home. Home
so
care
in other words, let's say, so in other words, if I go for a treatment, I go to a spa, let's say in Manhattan, they will send me home with what I need to use, or would I buy what I need to use as part, you know?
Yeah, that's part of your treatment. And, you know, there's always, you know, some people just get dissuaded by someone that's a little too pushy. And I, you know, my philosophy is, you know, as you run out of things, let's say you're just using something that you got over at Duane Reade, maybe you should just, you know, slowly as you finish your cleanser, go and get something that's nicer, that's pH balanced, it's not going to harm your skin. And then when you run out of your moisturizer, go get something else. I don't believe in going and spending a large amount of money and getting all new products, because if they irritate you, then you have to figure out what it was.
Right.
And I just think it's much better. I think it's better to have a few really good, nice products and use them
mm-hmm.
than to have a whole drawer full of things that you're not going to ever touch.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, again, if I go on to the website, it'll tell me where the products are being used, like all over the country, which spas are using it. Is that
Yes, mostly spas, upper-scale salons, doctor's offices, dermatologists, plastic surgeons.
Oh, so it's beyond just the spa.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We have doctors that were actually on staff that helped us develop some of the products. We're much more saturated in Los Angeles. You're going to be seeing a lot more of us here on the West, on the East Coast in the upcoming year or so. But, no, absolutely. We even do have a medical line of products that doctors use pre- and post-operations or peels. So, yeah,
right.
We're not the fluffy, a fluffy line with, you know, things that smell good.
Yeah, I know that kind of stuff. One of the things I hate, that one of the reasons that I don't like to wear makeup is, like, well, first of all, it's like I just put dirt on my face. You know what I mean?
Right. But
you know?
You know what? That's fine. I mean, many women don't, and I think that's fantastic.
I'm going to put you on speaker.
Sorry about that. I was getting that beeping sound, meaning my phone is going to drop dead on me if I don't.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's and the other thing, you know, because that's I also, yeah, because it's like, you know, putting like grease or something on my face, and it's like, well, now my face is dirty, you know, so that's why I don't.
Well, you know, some people feel that way about makeup. I personally, I love makeup, but I completely understand. You don't want to mess around. You don't want to feel like there's something on your face. But you know what? It's not necessary. Skincare is.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what's important. So, are we going to send me off to a someplace in Manhattan and you know, and experiment on me or something?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I'm not sure exactly where you are, but you know, if you do go on that locator, you can see which neighborhood or what area that we are carried at, and I could offer you a few suggestions as well of where you could go. Just, you know, one place that comes off the top of my head is at the Peninsula. There's a huge spa there that just got remodeled. They use our products, our face and body products there. If you want a more intimate environment, you know, I can guide you to someone else in the city if you want something more personalized.
Okay. Yeah, because we'll have to do this with me. I mean, that was the mini facial that that I had.
That was just a little taste, Meryl. I mean, that was the tip of the iceberg. So, and like I said, just because of the environment we were in, I had to keep things pretty simple. But and I didn't even go into home care with you because I didn't do a complete consultation with you.
Yeah, well, that was one. Well, actually, what I'm gonna do is see if I can do this, and have them talk about like home care, and let's see what they say. Let's say what you say.
Oh, that would be, well, okay, but we'll have to do this later. But I'll take
yeah.
a consult. I'll do your consultation, and from what I remember and what I saw in your skin and what you tell me, we'll come up with a little program. It's a very EthiCare is very interesting because you can mix and match, you cocktail products, you layer products. It's just such a fantastic custom line. And you know what I will say, Meryl, it's so fantastic because I learn new things about it all the time. People will tell me a way they've used some of the products and I hadn't even thought of it. I'll try it and it works beautifully. So I don't want to say someone's going to be completely wrong. As long as they can explain why they wanted to do certain things, and I think, you know, that it'll work. But yeah, let's have a little experiment. We'll see what they come up with.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in and telling us about this.
Well, thanks for having me.
And what's his name again?
I'm going to have Heather give you, I'll pass on her information. She can talk a little bit about our PR.
Yeah.
And if anyone is going to be in Los Angeles or California, they can come see us at our home office and see what we're all about.
Oh, and where is the home office exactly?
It's in Laguna, California, Laguna Hills, yep, which is South Orange County.
Oh, okay. What's the airport that's near there?
That would be John Wayne Airport that you would fly into.
John Wayne Airport.
John
okay.
Wayne Airport, yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you for speaking with us and for the knowledge. And again, everybody go, it's just so people get the correct spelling.
EPICUREN. Epicurean.com if they want any more information.
Okay. Fabulous.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Let them call in and find out and check it out. Maybe you'll see things coming up on Spa Week when that
yes.
happens.
Look for that. And, look at all the celebrities are using it. So they're in good hands.
Okay, great.
All right, Mel.
All right. Have a fabulous evening, and I guess it's back to L.A. now, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, a couple more stops, and then I'll go back home.
Okay.
All right. Thank
All
you.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's Epicurean. And I guess it's time for me to end my show. Next week, I will be calling –